But he that shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Gregory Nazianzen. St. Gregory, also called the theologian, was certainly one of the great doctors of the church, especially in the early church. And his life is certainly well important for all of us to look at and understand how he lived only for God. Only God was his rule. He grew up in a wonderful Catholic family. His mother consecrated him to God's service when he was young, and she prayed continually for him. And he grew up living strictly a life dedicated to God, study, prayer, and sacrifice. As he was growing, he became very good friends with St. Basil the Great, and the two of them studied together, living only for the study of the faith and living only for God. Later on, when he was ordained, almost against his will, and he was forced in a way by his own father, who was a bishop too, and he was ordained a priest, and he was given the various sees, which he never really occupied because of the various conflicts, and eventually he was made the Bishop of Constantinople. Again, he had trouble occupying the seat because of the Arian heresy, and he was staunch on this, as we saw last week when he complimented Saint Athanasius, speaking so highly of this great saint for all that he did to promote the equality of God, Jesus Christ, who was both God and man, how Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. Consubstantial, con with the same substance, just like the Father, equal to the Father in all things. And this is his divine nature. And as we know from our study of religion, this is what we call the hypostatic union, the union of God and man in Jesus Christ. He was born from all eternity of the Father, begotten of the Father, and in time he was born of the Virgin Mary. So he was both God and man. It's hard for us to believe that the church could be so divided because of this situation, but due to the followers of Arius, the Arian heresy came into the church, and as Saint Jerome said, the whole world woke up one day and found itself Arian. And I kid you not, it must have been a very difficult time, because at that time we see brother against brother, Catholic against Catholic, and many of them were persecuted, right? Persecuted, driven from their sees like St. Athanasius, and even we see forced to retire like St. Gregory Nazianzen, right? Because of the various disputes and the hatred that was so akin. Interesting how St. Gregory Nazianzen was influenced by the story of Jonas on two occasions. When he was going to Athens, the ship was for 20 days, it was floundering in the sea, and he realized that he was maybe the cause of it because he had not been baptized yet. And he begged the Lord, he didn't want to die, because if he had died, he wouldn't go to heaven. Because unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So with many tears and prayers on that ship that was floundering in the sea for 20 days, he begged God to spare him so that he could be baptized on his return from this trip. And thank the Lord, the wind subsided, and like Jonas, and we know that story of Jonas, how the ship was floundering where Jonas was on, and they all thought it was somebody that was the cause of the anger of God, and he owned up to it, and eventually, because he realized that God was punishing him for leaving, not going to back to Nineveh, he was delivered, and then he went to deliver the message of Nineveh. We know that story, how 40 days in Nineveh shall be no more. So Jonah didn't want to do that, but he did. He was forced to by the Lord. And in a way, it's the way the Lord works in our life. St. Paul tells us, to those who love God, all things work together for good. Everything in our life happens because God wills it or permits it. And we can't really get upset at it, because what are we going to do? If God permits something and God wills something, then we have to accept it. If we fall down a flight of stairs, if we have a car accident, all right? You know, whatever happens to us, God has permitted it or willed it for our sanctification. And when you read the life of St. Gregory Nazianzen, and you realize how much he dedicated himself so wholeheartedly to God, to the study of the faith, to prayer, to contemplation, we realize that that's the way we all have to be, right? We all have to be, because eternal life is worth it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffer the loss for his soul? And how much do we waste time on nonsense? And this is what St. Gregory Nazianzen said, on vanities, on nonsense. And that's why he lived his entire life for God, completely. Praying, sacrificing, fasting, giving alms, studying, everything. And God, as we see in today's reading from Ecclesiasticus, God filled him with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It's given the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the wonderful gifts of fear of the Lord, right? Counsel, fortitude, piety, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And of course, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace and joy and patience and kindness. People do not realize the effects of God's grace in the soul, sanctifying grace, how the Holy Ghost will give us all these blessings and transform us so that we have union with God, transformation into Jesus Christ. This is the only thing that matters. And when the soul is in sanctifying grace, it grows and grows. Every act that it does, every good deed that it does, everything that it does for Almighty God, they are blessed. And they grow in grace. And as Chabon, in his magnificent book, The Glories of Divine Grace, Matthias Chabon, S-C-H-E-E-B-E-N, Chabon, who said that people in a short time can grow in grace because grace is infinite. Because it's God. Grace is the life of God in the soul. If you love me, you keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and abide with you. We will live in you. So when we're in the state of grace with no mortal sins, that's why mortal sin is the only evil in the world, because it deprives the soul of sanctifying grace. God is no longer in the soul. The devil is in the soul. Just like the devil was in all those heretics at the time of St. Athanasius and Gregory Nazianzen, who denied one of the teachings of the faith. And when you deny one teaching of the faith, you have lost your faith. You cannot deny anything of the Catholic faith. You must believe everything. That's why the Lord said he has come to fulfill the law. Not one jot or one tittle of the law shall be changed by him. Because God, all things come together with God. And we must believe. And we cannot not believe something. And if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we are a heretic. We have lost our faith. And if we don't repent, we will be in hell for all eternity. One of the people that St. Gregory met along the way is Julian the Apostate. When he was studying before Julian became the emperor, he saw this very proud, arrogant young man, and he wondered, what kind of a man is this? He was very proud, selfish, and everything. And of course, this was the beginning of his whole life. Later on, when he became emperor, he became a persecutor of the church. He was a Catholic. He was, that's why he's called Julian the Apostate. He gave up his faith and persecuted the faith because he was a very arrogant young man, and the devil got into him. And more than likely, he had many sins, and as most of the sins that the devil cause us, most of them deal with sexuality, right? St. Alphonsus tells us that most people in hell are there because of the sins of the flesh, and Our Lady says the same thing. St. Alphonsus said 90%. So the devil uses human sexuality to get us to commit sin, to rob us of grace, and that's what happened to Julian the Apostate. And this is why St. Gregory was so strong in his faith, keeping the commandments, praying, sacrificing, right? I'm going to give you a few readings from Saint Gregory Nazianzen. We see about, first of all, in dealing with married women. How about this for today? What would people say about this in this, the 20th, 21st century? St. Gregory Nazianzen spoke about married women, how they should behave. And this is what he says. In the first place, honor God. Then respect your husband as the eye of your life, for he is to direct your conduct and actions. Love only him. Make him your joy and your comfort. Take care never to give him any occasion of offense or disgust. Yield to him in his anger. Comfort and assist him in his pains and afflictions, speaking to him with sweetness and tenderness, and making him prudent and modest, remonstrances and at seasonable times. It is not by violence and strength that the keepers of lions endeavor to tame them when they see them enraged, but they soothe and caress them, stroking them gently and speaking with a soft voice. Never let his weakness be the subject of your reproaches. It can never be just or allowable for you to treat a person in this manner when you ought to prefer whom you ought to prefer to the whole world. So there it is. What's repeating sort of what St. Paul says, husbands, all right? Husbands and wives. Wives, be subservient to your husband for the love of God. Honor your husband. And of course, husbands should honor their wives too, because this is the language of the saints. The language of the world is the language of pride. I got to be me. I got to do what I want. Do what you're told and all that kind of thing. And the language of the world speaks with anger, right? And St. Francis would remind us that we must be patient and kind in all things, okay? Talking about the life of prayer for a priest, he says, I live among the rocks and wild beasts, never seeing any fire or using shoes, having only one single garment. I am the outcast and scorn of men. I lie on straw and clad in sackcloth. My floor is always moist with my tears. This is St. Gregory talking about himself, how much he was so ascetical and living only for God. And talking again to a holy priest who was fallen into unjust persecution through slander, St. Gregory writes, what evil can happen to us after all this? None, certainly, unless we by our fault lose God and virtue. Let all other things fall out as it shall please God. He is the master of our life, and knows the reason of everything that befalls us. Let us only fear to do anything unworthy of our piety. We have fed the poor, we have served our brethren, we have sung the psalms with cheerfulness. If we are no longer permitted to continue this, let us employ our devotion some other way. Grace is not barren and opens different ways to heaven. Let us live in retirement. Let us occupy ourselves in contemplation. Let us purify our souls by the light of God. This perhaps will be no less a sacrifice than anything we can do. And the great saint, as he, Father Butler, Albert Butler tells us in the Lives of the Saints, talking about the heavenly goods that he had, the great saint looked upon the smiles and frowns of the world with indifference, because spiritual and heavenly things wholly engrossed his soul. He says, "Let us never esteem worldly prosperity or adversity as things real or of any moment, but let us live elsewhere and raise all our attention to heaven, esteeming sin as the only true evil and nothing truly good but virtue which unites us to God." My dear friends, that's the work of a saint. That's the work of Saint Gregory Nazianzen, called because of his great contemplation and his great study, the theologian, not a theologian. He is the theologian to the people of his time. I'll repeat that last thing. Let us never esteem worldly prosperity or adversity as things real or of any moment. All right? But let us live elsewhere and raise all our attention to heaven, esteeming sin as the only true evil and nothing truly good but virtue which unites us to God. That repeats sort of what I said about sanctifying grace. Living only for the love of God, living virtuously, living good lives, praying and sacrificing, which is what Our Lady said at Fatima. Pray and sacrifice, for many souls will go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them. So if you're living a life of prayer and sacrifice, you're on your way to heaven. You're living a life of virtue, and you're going to go from grace to grace to grace. And while you're on your way to heaven, because of all your prayers and all your good works, you're going to save souls. You're going to pray the rosary and save many, many souls. And that's what St. Gregory did. And those people who do that, those who teach others, as we saw in today's gospel, shall be called great, great in the kingdom of heaven. The prophet Daniel says, those that instruct others unto justice shall shine like stars for all eternity. My dear friends, this is what we should aspire to, living the life of like Gregory Nazianzen, like Saint Athanasius, whom we studied last week, to live holy lives and please God and instruct others. And then we shall live for all eternity and shine like stars for all eternity. May the Lord bless you.